This is Jim Engster. Coming today on the show, we will visit with GOP political consultant Scott Wilfong and Bruce Parker of Louisiana Progress. They have some differing views regarding a measure that is sponsored and about to be debated in the Louisiana legislature from Representative Alan Seabaugh of Shreveport. It would deny the ability to sue in Louisiana based on sexual orientation or gender identity. That's what the bill would do, and we will discuss it. Also, Colonel Sherb Chintel, he is involved with the U.S. Army War College. This is that time of the year at LSU. We'll talk with Colonel Chintel about this, and we'll also hear from Susan Hunt from the East Baton Rouge Parish School Board on some happenings involving schools in our community. All this, now the news. This is Jim Engster. You're listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. 297-5633 is your number. Outside the area, it's 877-217-5757. You may reach us by email, inkstershow@wrkf.org. J.C. Kane is producing, and our guests in studio are GOP political consultant Scott Wilfong and Bruce Parker of Louisiana Progress, and they have some opposing viewpoints regarding a bill that's in the hopper that will be discussed this session from Representative Alan Seabaugh, Republican from Shreveport. It involves sexual orientation and gender identity, and basically it would prohibit any lawsuits based on those classifications. And Scott Wilfong, what's your early read on House Bill 402?
Well, I appreciate your position on it, but I really don't think that's what it says. I think it prohibits discrimination on anything except the current protected classes, which is age, age, race, gender, national origin. There's a few others, but that's really, you know, I think that the media has kind of demagogued the bill, saying it prohibits certain things. It actually doesn't. It just gives us a class of conditions and says, unless you're suing for discrimination based on these things, then the suit will be declared frivolous.
But that's the one that's conspicuously missing that is in other legislation of this type.
Well, you could, if a group of, if the gay and GLTB, I don't know if I have the acronym right, if they wanted to band together and go ask the legislature to make them a protected class, you know, that's how the legislative process works. If redheads wanted to come and ask to be, you know, protected mm-hmm. from discrimination, they could go and ask the legislature for that as well. I think that's what the bill's intent is to say, we've got enough frivolous lawsuits out here. We've got enough claims. If people feel they need to be a protected class, then let's be proactive and create the legislation prospectively and not, you know, and not go backwards, which is what we're doing now.
Bruce Parker, my impression is that you have a different take on this.
The two points I would make initially are just that actually the classes that are currently covered are age, disability, race, color, religion, sex, national origin, gender, pregnancy, childbirth, sickle cell anemia, and genetic discrimination. So I think we would be hard-pressed to find other massive groups of people who are not currently covered under the law. And so the intent of this bill has to be to limit access for certain people. This is in keeping with Representative Seabaugh's ongoing quest to oppose people and limit people's opportunity based on who they love and who they are. And I would also say that in a time when our state is struggling with economic issues and budgetary issues and healthcare access and graduation rates, is this really a priority for the voters who elected him in Shreveport? I don't think it can be.
Well, you know, he also represents a lot of business owners that are struggling to pay the bills in this great Obama economy that we're living in. And just one more thing that they can get sued on and have to pay to defend, even if there's no claim to it, even if there's no basis to it. That's what these suits do. They cause business owners to go out, have to hire an attorney, have to hire representatives, spend time away from their business to try to defend something that is oftentimes determined to be completely frivolous. Like I said, if the group wants to band together and get their class included in the legislation, it's already there. The statute is there. I think it's Revised Statute 23. If you want to add sexual orientation to that protected class, that's how you do it. You go through the legislative process and add it. I think Representative Seabaugh is right on for trying to help our businesses avoid, you know, more frivolous expenses.
Louisiana is one of 29 states with no employment protections based on sexual orientation, one of 34 states with no employment protections based on gender identity. 297-5633 is your number if you'd like to join the conversation with Scott Wilfong, Republican political consultant who is in accord with Representative Seebaugh, his fellow member of the GOP, and Bruce Parker, Director of Outreach for Louisiana Progress, who has a different point of view. Now, Louisiana, it would seem, is not a state that would be out in front on an issue like this, Bruce. What do you think your chances are with the Louisiana legislature?
Well, I think it's important to know that we have local ordinances and executive orders in cities like Shreveport, Baton Rouge, New Orleans, Lafayette, and I believe in Opelousas, that actually protect people based on sexual orientation, and some of them include gender identity. One of the things this law would do is overrule those local ordinances potentially. And so this is an example of someone advocating for a state law that would overrule local law and probably violate Title VII in terms of giving people access to the courts to resolve employment discrimination. But I think we have good. I think we have a pretty good chance. I think the Democrats in the legislature know that this is the wrong thing for the economy, and I think there are more than a handful of perfectly reasonable Republicans who also realize that we have important issues to be dealing with, and this is not one of them. The Louisiana courts are not clogged up with a bunch of frivolous lawsuits based on sexual orientation and gender identity.
Well, as you know, Democrats don't have the majority in either house. And even if you get all the Democrats, you got to get a few Republicans, and then you got to get the governor to sign off on it. He could veto it.
Well, in this case, I hope he does veto it with Representative Seawall's bill.
Well,
but I don't think we're going to get that far along.
You're trying to defeat the bill, so I get your point. It's a case in which Louisiana, as stated, is not generally on the forefront of these kinds of issues. And how big of a problem is it?
It's a huge problem. It's a huge problem for our economy, and it's a huge problem for attracting new businesses. IBM just came into town, and they have an inclusive non-discrimination policy. Moonbot Studios out of Shreveport that just won an Oscar has an inclusive non-discrimination policy and are coming out advocating against Representative Seebaugh's bill. This is the kind of thing that causes top-tier talent to not come to the state or to move away from the state after graduation.
Well, Scott, as you know, it takes a lot of work to pass a bill, and lawmakers are immersed in some issues that are rather important right now regarding the budget. Do you think there might be some resentment toward Representative Seebaugh for getting down in the weeds on something that is obviously a controversial issue?
Oh, I think there's no question about that. I think you've got a lot of bills, and really you're looking back, not to go into another topic, but you know what Governor Foster did a few years ago where we changed the Constitution to allow for these non-fiscal bills. This is a fiscal session, you know. Regardless of what we think about the merits of the bill, does it really belong in a fiscal session? The same way with the Southeast Schools bill here in Baton Rouge. You know, that's something else that's gotten some pushback from legislators saying, you know, why are we dealing with this year? I think we're a victim of ourselves, really, because the voters did change the Constitution and allow for that. But I think we'd have been better off keeping fiscal sessions with fiscal-only bills. I would just like to say one thing, though. You talk about the companies that are moving to Baton Rouge with these non-discrimination policies. They shouldn't be worried about it. If they've got their own policy for non-discrimination based on sexual orientation, well, that's great. That's America. They're free to create whatever policies they want. What Representative Seebaugh is trying to do is protect smaller businesses that aren't IBM, that aren't major multi-billion-dollar corporations, from being sued out of existence, basically, by someone who just probably either didn't do their job well or did something wrong, and now they want to fall back on some, you know, knee-jerk, you know, reaction to, well, I fall into a protected class. You know, that's how we've gotten where we are. We really need to remove those barriers instead of creating more.
Scott, you probably know more about the law than me, but as I understand it right now, judges are perfectly free to dismiss lawsuits as frivolous if they decide to. And so I'm wondering why Representative Seebaugh thinks that his judgment about every single court case that could be brought that's not covered by current law is more valid than those of judges who are doing their jobs.
297-5633, your number if you'd like to talk. Chris on Segan. Good morning, Chris. You're on the air with Bruce Parker and Scott Wilfong.
Hey, good morning, Jim. I had a question, and Bruce alluded to it with the business opportunities, and you know, Scott seems to make a point that it's going to hurt businesses. But as we've seen with the Louisiana Science Education Act and other initiatives that are based, seems to me a lot on religion. it seems to me that that's going to affect the business opportunities in this state and the desirability of businesses to locate in Louisiana if we're continually leaving out classes of people and if we're continually limiting access to justice and access to the courts just because you're not in this ascribed group. I think we could say 50 years ago that you know, certain groups may have not even been included, such as, you know, African-Americans, things like that. So why should we limit access to justice? Because just as Bruce said, we can, you know, the courts and judges have been shown to adequately compensate for people that do have frivolous lawsuits.
Well, I think that you're, you know, that sounds good. It's just not the case, though. We've reached the point where we have, if you will, saturated the market, so to speak, with the claims that have merit, you know, obviously age discrimination, which our Constitution explicitly prohibits. But, you know, it's been tried. It's been tried in East Baton Rouge with the One Baton Rouge resolution and the scare tactics of, oh, if we don't do this, so-and-so's not going to come. IBM's coming. You know, I mean, the mayor here, you know, claimed that we'd suffer economic consequences if we didn't pass these inclusion resolutions. But all I've seen in the 6 years since Governor Jindal took over is an increase in our rankings for pro-business state, an increase in the good categories where we are more favorable to business. We've got companies locating here. Certainly, we're not Florida, we're not North Carolina, but we're trying to get there. And I don't see where the policies we've put in place over the last half dozen years have been harmful. I think they've been quite beneficial to our state.
297-5633 is your number. The bill 402, House bill, would provide that suits filed for employment discrimination for any reason other than age, disability, race, color, religion, sex, national origin, pregnancy, childbirth, and related medical conditions, sickle cell trait, and genetic discrimination shall be dismissed and considered frivolous. And the gay community, the LGBT community, believes that this is a case in which people who are members of this community are being singled out and discriminated against because they're not included in the protected classes. And this is something that is not unheard of. There are laws like this in other places, aren't there, Bruce Parker?
There are. This is actually, this legislation is almost verbatim the same as legislation currently being entertained in Tennessee and that has been introduced in other states that have mostly failed. So this is an example of Representative Seabaugh deciding to fix a problem that isn't actually a problem using a solution that is not his own but is drawn from a national effort to limit the access of certain people to the court system. And as Scott mentioned earlier, this is America and we believe in freedom. Do we not also believe that people have a right to the court system to maintain and obtain freedom and justice?
Gary and Broadmoor. Gary, you're on the air with Bruce Parker and Scott Wilfong.
I am an adult, white, conservative male that has gay friends. I'm also a small businessman that has had several frivolous lawsuits with no merit, but the insurance company settled because it was cheaper. I understand the merits of both parties, but I myself have been affected by frivolous lawsuits and it's cost me to increase insurance policies, and I have to deal with that on a daily basis. So I support the bill.
All right. Bruce, sounds like a guy who is open-minded, but he's still against your side on this bill from Alan Seabaugh.
Well, I'm sorry that he's had those experiences. There really is nothing worse than having to deal with something frivolous that takes up your time and resources. But the reality is LGBT people and many other people face hostile work environments, such as the case of Andrew Sawyer, where we saw last year where he reported a claim of discrimination for months and eventually was assaulted at his work because of this. So this law would make him unable to sue his employer, who had received multiple complaints that escalated about a situation that escalated to physical violence. He would not be able to sue them. So I understand that we need to limit frivolous lawsuits, and I believe that judges do a pretty good job of that as it is.
I don't think that's the case. I don't think that this bill would limit his right to sue if he's been physically harmed. I think this would be it would prevent a claim of discrimination. I know you've got this this awful thing called the Human Rights Commission, I think, that was created recently.
That's an awful thing.
Well, you know, it's in a conservative's view, but I think that's all this bill would do. Certainly, someone that's attacked and victimized at their work, I would think certainly the employer would have some culpability there if he had allowed that to occur.
297-5633, your number, inkstershow@wrkf.org. Back with Scott and Bruce after this timeout. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. J.C. Kane is producing, and our guests are Scott Wilfong, Louisiana GOP consultant, and Bruce Parker, who is involved with Louisiana Progress. They are on opposite sides of a bill from Representative Alan Seabaugh, Republican from Shreveport, who has filed legislation which the LGBT community believes is discriminatory toward people in that class because it would eliminate them from a protected class as far as lawsuits. Anyone not in that class would have their suits dismissed because they would be considered frivolous. What do you think? And let's go to Dorothy in Goodwood. Dorothy, good morning. Please be brief. You're on with Scott and Bruce.
I have a number of gay friends, and I also have an older brother who happens to be gay. And I think this law is highly discriminatory, and I do think that it deserves, a good vote down and a good smackdown because it reeks of discrimination. Thank you.
I would remind folks again what I said earlier. Even if this bill passes, there's nothing, and is signed into law, there's nothing to say that the gay community can't come back next year and ask to be included in that protected class and go prospectively with the legislation. You know, as we said, they're not currently in a protected class. If they would like to be in one, then there's a process to do that.
Scott, I'm not sure why you think that certain citizens in Louisiana should have to come back and advocate and lobby the legislature for the right to have an employer who is not allowed to discriminate against them. That seems to me to be counterproductive. It also seems to me to be an example of a very non-Republican value. If the idea is we don't need repetitive legislation and too much legislation is a problem, why is Seabaugh introducing a law that basically says we should be following the law as it's currently written? And why are we limiting people access to justice and the courts to resolve their disputes?
Because currently you've got folks filing discrimination claims for all sorts of reasons which have no merit.
That's just not true. In Louisiana in the last 2 years, there's only been two cases filed that involve sexual orientation as a discrimination issue, and neither were frivolous.
Jeremy downtown. Jeremy, you're on the air with Bruce Parker and Scott Wilfong. Hi, Jeremy.
My question is for both of your guests, and it relates to something that was just said that, one of you keeps on bringing up the idea of frivolous lawsuits, and I wonder if there's any data to provide any merit to that claim at all. I really believe it's a completely meritless claim that's just propaganda. But if it's true, there should be statistics nationally and on a state level saying we saw an increase in frivolous lawsuits, but here's the number of them. Stop bringing up the specter of frivolous lawsuits and give me numbers on that happening, actually. Thank you.
Okay, I think I got most of that. Ask any judge, ask any lawyer that's involved in the court system, and if you have a lawsuit and it takes 2 years, you really understand why, because there's such a backlog of cases. I won't dispute your claim about the two cases of discrimination, but again, we try to make laws to anticipate certain things, and what we're seeing obviously over the last few years is a glut of these what I call money grabs of people trying to claim all sorts of reasons why they were dismissed from their job. I think this is not about, again, the whole thing is not about sexual orientation. It's about simply saying we've got enough protected classes. Let's protect our business owners from any more, frivolous lawsuits.
2 years ago, there was a safe schools bill that was advocated for by the National Association of Social Workers, the School Counselors Association of Louisiana, as well as many other professional education organizations. Representative Seabaugh took to the floor and attacked this bill as a part of the gay agenda. This is statistically proven to protect students better. He said that it promoted homosexuality in schools. This is another example of legislative gay bashing and bullying by Representative Seabaugh, who is out of touch with the people
of
Louisiana.
All right, well, speaking of, Representative Seabaugh is dialing in. Good morning to you, Representative.
Good morning.
What are your thoughts? Where are we going with this?
Well, first of all, I'd like to chime in because I think this bill has been grossly misunderstood and misinterpreted. First of all, it does not change who would win any lawsuit. It does not have anything to do with access to the courts. The only thing it does is provide for who, at the end of the lawsuit, once a court has thrown out the lawsuit, it determines, the bill provides for who would pay for the attorney's fees. Because what happens right now, in statute, there is a provision for what to do with frivolous lawsuits. If a lawsuit is found to be frivolous, then the plaintiff pays the defendant's attorney's fees, which can be $50,000, $60,000, $80,000. What happens is judges are throwing the lawsuits out, but they're not sticking the plaintiff with the defendant's attorney's fees. So what that does is allows the plaintiff to approach the defendant and essentially say, and I know for a fact this happens because I used to defend these types of lawsuits, they'll approach the defendant and say, look, we know ultimately we're going to lose, but it's going to cost you $70,000, $80,000. Give us $25,000, $30,000, and we won't file the lawsuit. And so it's a way of using the court system to blackmail defendants. And let me point one thing else out. This is not aimed at the LGBT community or whatever they call themselves, because one of the things in all of the articles about this bill, they keep pointing out that there are not a lot of lawsuits filed on the basis of homosexuality. That is, in fact, true. This bill was not brought to limit lawsuits from that aspect of society, because essentially they're not protected in the law now, and they don't file a lot of lawsuits.
All right. Well, your bill, and I'm reading it right now, Representative Seboss, says any action filed in district court or before the Louisiana Commission on Human Rights against an employer for discrimination in employment for a practice which is not specifically prohibited in the statutes shall be dismissed and shall be considered a frivolous claim subject to subsection B of this section. It sounds like the law may be a bit more sweeping than you indicated.
No, because you have to keep in mind, those six statutes that I cited are the only statutes in Louisiana that define protected characteristics. If somebody wants to bring an amendment to a bill or bring a bill that adds any aspect of one, you want to add single parents, there's a lot of other aspects of society that could be added. If they're added to the statute, then they're protected. Because what we have here, you have to keep in mind, Louisiana is a civil law system, not a common law system. The legislature makes the rules, not the judges. And so the legislature defines what shall be considered employment discrimination. And what the bill is designed to do is prevent plaintiffs from going on fishing expeditions. We hope this judge will expand the law, or you at least make the argument in favor of expanding the law to cover something that the legislature has not sought fit to protect. So what the bill is designed to do is protect the employers from having to spend, again, $50,000, $60,000, $80,000 to defend lawsuits, which the plaintiff knows he's going to lose when they're filed.
Will you stay on the line, Representative? Will you stay with us as we continue our conversation?
Sure.
All right. Dan downtown. Dan, good morning. You're on the air with Representative Seboss, Bruce Parker, and Scott Wilfong.
Yes, with regard to the protection of the business community, has there been any study to show how much lobby and the Louisiana Chemical Association, various business groups have been contributing to judicial and legislative campaigns?
All right.
Comment on that, sure. If you want.
Certainly.
They come back. If you were to look at campaign contributions, lobby does not ever contribute to a district judge campaign, and you can look that up. They do not get involved in district judge races. However, trial lawyers do, by huge, huge amounts of money. So it's not a level playing field. But the context that he brought up about campaign contributions is valid in this context. However, again, lobby does not get involved in district judge races, but trial lawyers do. And well, it's a district judge that would make this decision.
297-5633 is your number. Bruce, do you want to add something?
it's worth pointing out that the chemical companies in town on the whole in Louisiana actually protect people based on sexual orientation and gender identity because they know that that attracts the highest talent people from across the country. But I would also say, just in reference to Representative Seboff's comments, with all due respect, if the bill's intent is to make people who bring frivolous lawsuits pay the court costs after the fact, why would a frivolous lawsuit based on sex or the other protected classes not also require the complainant to pay those fees? I'm not entirely sure that Representative Seboff has read his own bill that's been introduced in Tennessee and other states across the country.
What prompted you to file the bill, Representative?
I assure you I have read it. In fact, I wrote it. The fact of the matter, what prompted me to bring it was complaints from Well, again, I used to defend these types of lawsuits. I don't handle that aspect of law anymore. But I had a couple of attorneys who still practice in that area of law bring it to me and say, you know, it's a problem because there is a provision in there that says any lawsuit that's found to be frivolous and one based on one of the protected classes, race, color, religion, there's a whole list, if it can be based on those classes and still be found frivolous. If somebody does something egregious and there's a very valid reason that they're fired and they file a lawsuit saying you fired me because of my religion and it's found to be frivolous, then they would be found to pay the court costs, or at least they could under the statute. What happens, in effect, is the judges split the baby. They throw the lawsuit out. They rule in favor of the defendant, but they find it not to be frivolous.
Peter in St. Martin Parish. Peter, you're on the air. Good morning to you.
Good morning. How are you? It doesn't sound like there's a lot of demographic research and fact-finding going into this bill, because if you look at the overall situation in Louisiana in terms of the outcome for minorities and groups that are similarly situated, you're going to find that it's necessary to keep a broad, let's say, swath with those who can actually petition the court. Our populations are shifting. We're having more Hispanics come in, and there are unique issues that are coming up. Gender issues with the defense of marriage and other things. And what this does, it preemptively closes that off. What we're going to do is, because I'm not going to say what talk show I'm on, but I'm getting all over this stuff on the next time I'm on the radio, and I'm going to educate the public, because what they're doing is wrong. It's discriminatory. It's reverse discrimination.
All right, Scott, would you respond?
Attempt to claim that there's a problem where none exists. I think, you know, we have got major problems in this country and in this state with our economy, with our budget, and, you know, anything that we can do to ease the flow of commerce, to make doing business easier, to make punitive damages, things like that, not so onerous. I guess punitive is not the right term, but, you know, frivolous lawsuits like this that really hurt our businesses. That's the business climate. And thank goodness, you know, the legislature has adopted that extremely pro-business mindset, you know, over the last few years. And that's really what we're talking about. I think you said two lawsuits for sexual orientation. How can there be a real problem there?
So why is Representative Seboff using one of five non-fiscal bills to solve a problem that you just acknowledged doesn't exist?
Representative?
Can I comment on that?
Certainly.
The problem does exist, but contrary to what your guests would have people to believe, it is not aimed at homosexual aspect of society. They're not filing the lawsuits that this is designed to protect. It's other people that are trying to expand the definition. So, again, they're the ones taking up the mantle and running with the bill, or rather opposing the bill, but that's not what the bill was designed to protect against.
Rinaldi in North Baton Rouge. Hi, Rinaldi. You're on the air with Representative Seboff, Scott Wilfong, Bruce Parker.
Okay, great. I want to make my comments short and real specific to the point. I got sued by an employee in one of my businesses. It was a frivolous lawsuit, okay? But here's the other side of the coin that the attorneys are not speaking about. Just to bring a court, just to bring a case to trial, just to, you know, even get it to that point, it costs the defendant money. These lawyers are not out here doing this stuff for free, okay? Now, while I see both sides of the issue, and I've been on both sides of the issue, having been sued by someone on a frivolous lawsuit for which they lost, but, you know, you do have to pay some money to defend yourself. But just to even bring a case of discrimination costs money. And the representative needs to stop lying to the public about the cost of bringing lawsuits. It's not that these attorneys, you walk in an attorney's office and say, hey, look, company X has discriminated against me, So would you please sue these guys and we can shake them down for some money? Most lawyers are not going to take that kind of case unless they investigate it and there is at least some proof of discrimination. Then the final point, it is true that the legislature does in fact write the laws, but it's still up to a judge to interpret the law and to sit in judgment to make sure that what is being brought before the court is in fact a matter of legal prudence.
All right.
I think you're overestimating the character of some attorneys in this state. I think there are always attorneys that will go and run to any sort of case, and they'll file it for free. They'll do whatever they can because it's somewhat of a cottage industry for these guys. I'm not trying to indict all attorneys, but I know Alan is an attorney, and I think he would agree with me on that there's someone out there that will take just about any case you can find.
It happens every day.
I'm not sure why Representative Seebaugh and Scott aren't being honest. Representative Seebaugh has a history of introducing bills and of opposing any bills that would protect LGBT people in schools, in employment, in housing. And so if this is what the bill is meant to do, let's just own it, and let's own it in the larger context of a history of legislation aimed at limiting the rights of a certain group of people or pushing back at a certain group of people. Louisiana Progress is not an LGBT organization. We're an organization that supports reasonable approaches to solving problems in Louisiana. This is not a problem, and this is not a reasonable solution.
Where does this bill stand in the process right now, Representative?
We're waiting for it to be heard in committee.
And do you feel confident?
Well, the only thing I've done is work the committee, and yeah, I'm confident it'll come out of committee, and I'm pretty sure we can get it off the House floor.
Is the governor with you?
I hadn't talked to him about it.
Okay.
He's got other things on his mind.
Yeah, I get that impression. and that's, you weren't with us when we were talking about it earlier. With all these other issues permeating, this could be a distraction of sorts. If lawmakers chided you at all for bringing up a controversial measure?
Not really. I had a couple of people tell me I was brave and a couple more tell me I was stupid. But, it's mostly tongue-in-cheek or in jest. People understand why I'm doing it or why it's necessary.
Well, and Jim, I'll just say this. I mean, I know Alan may not want to address the comment earlier, but I'll just say that, you know, conservatives in the legislature seem to get attacked every time they stand up for their constituents, for conservative issues. This is not something that Alan has never heard about. This is not something that he doesn't hear from constituents and fellow conservatives around the state. And just because he brings a bill that does have merit, you may not agree with it, but it doesn't mean that he's out attacking gay and lesbian citizens. Well, he's standing up for his constituents.
Here's a question.
Actually,
he's
on the record attacking gay and lesbian citizens. He's done it multiple years in a row.
Question.
Absolutely, but that is an absolute lie. I introduced an amendment to a bill 3 or 2 years ago, and then I filed this bill. That's it.
Sir, did you not say that the text of the bill that was meant to protect schools that every education organization in the country that's respected, introduced, and supported was a part of the homosexual agenda and quoted it from, you found it on a website where the homosexual agenda was, a web address that if you could send to me, I would appreciate because I seem to be missing my handbook.
I actually had the handbook on my desk at the time. I had printed it. And I gave it to Representative Juan LaFonta. I'll see if I can find it. But it was literally verbatim with maybe 5 or 6 words different off of a website I found that was model legislation to push the LGBT agenda. And what had happened, every state that had adopted that law, what had happened is the next year, lawsuits were filed against local school boards who didn't make the kids read books like Heather Had Two Mommies and that sort of thing. And what happened is the lawsuit, again, it was a using the court system to get the school systems to agree to teach something like that.
All right, we've got a roll, but thank you very much, Representative Seebaugh, for calling in, and we'll be watching where your bill goes, and certainly we'll be calling on you once again. Scott Wilfong, thanks to you, and thanks to you, Bruce Parker, and we shall see where this happens and how the legislature will review the merits of the legislation from Representative Seebaugh. Back after this 90-second pause. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge, and our guest at this time is Colonel Sherb Centel. He's a native of Minden, currently attending the U.S. Army War College in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. He holds a Bachelor of Arts degree in political science from Davidson and the alma mater of Adam Knapp, by the way. And after serving 3 years on active duty with the 82nd Airborne, he left active duty and obtained his law degree from LSU. And he is here to talk about the Army War College. Good morning to you. Get a little closer to the microphone, Colonel Sintel.
Good morning, Jim. It's an honor to be here.
Well, we've had people who have been involved with the War College on this program a few times in the past. I think it was about a year ago at this time, courtesy of Skip Phillips. You're at LSU right now for a reason. Tell us why.
Well, one of the electives at the War College is the Eisenhower Program. It was started really after the Vietnam War because the Department of Defense really thought that the military wasn't going out and being speaking to the public, and we are your military. And so this Eisenhower Program is really an outreach program in which, unlike most members of the military, it allows us to give our personal opinions, not those of the Department of Defense or the Army, but we're allowed to give our personal opinions on a lot of things. And so we can go out and speak to colleges and high schools, the law centers, and answer questions that people have about what our military is and what our goals are and what we're trying to accomplish.
What do you think the biggest misconception is about the military?
I think that some people view that the military is always seeking some kind of conflict or justification for our existence. And when in fact, I mean, the War College motto is not to promote war, but to preserve peace. And it is, you know, I'm an Army reservist, and it was incredibly enlightening to me to learn all the time, every day, the things that men and women in our military are doing and what we call phase zero operations around the world to try to ensure that we do not have another armed conflict.
Well, Colonel Sintel was commissioned as a regular infantry officer in the Army in 1989. He has served in operations Desert Shield and Desert Storm in Saudi Arabia and Iraq with the 82nd Airborne. He has won the Bronze Star, the Meritorious Service Medal, the Army Commendation Medal, the Combat Infantryman's Badge, Ranger Tab, Senior Parachutist Badge, and is a recipient of the General Douglas MacArthur Leadership Award. And he is a man who walks the walk. Now, does it bother you at all that many of the people at the highest levels of our government, previous presidents, vice presidents, they have little or no military service, and the war of their generation, they were not around to fight. They chose not to. Does that bother you that then they send other young men, such as yourself, off to fight wars that they might not have fought in if their time had come?
It doesn't bother me personally. I think less than 1% of the American public now is serving and has served in the military. So that, you know, with BRAC, I personally have some concerns as we move away from what I would call the local armory in each town or jurisdiction, and we go to what some would term military super centers, kind of like Walmart. So instead of having little Army Reserve armories in every town, now they're consolidated and they are more efficient economically, but then less and less representatives at the state level have a military presence in their jurisdiction, and inevitably those are the same representatives that ultimately run for Congress or the Senate.
Colonel Sherb Chantel, a distinctive name, a member also of the LSU Law School Hall of Fame. He's a man who has won many decorations in his young life. What was the decision to go to law school prompted by?
Well, after I was in the 82nd, and I wasn't ready for a desk job just yet, so I decided to go join the Army. I wanted to be an airborne ranger, and I went and joined the 82nd, and we were some of the first troops sent over when Saddam Hussein invaded Kuwait. And throughout that experience, I was an infantry platoon leader and really enjoyed it. And I came back to the 82nd and got a great staff job as the S3 Air for my battalion. I was in charge of the air assets. And that was a great, great opportunity. But my dad called me and said, you know, your LSAT is only good for one more year, and you surprised us all and did better than we thought you would. So if you wanted to go to law school, this would be a good time. And so I did. I went to law school and really enjoyed my LSU experience. And then after law school, I missed the Army, and that's why I went back into the reserves.
Well, approximately 378 students, including senior officers from all branches of the armed forces, senior civilian representatives from a variety of U.S. government agencies, and senior military officers from 71 foreign countries, attend a 10-month graduate-level course of study in the U.S. Army War College, and one of those gentlemen is Colonel Sherb Centel. Now, you, I suspect, have traveled to a few places in this capacity.
I have. I'm very fortunate. I'm one of four members at the War College who are what we call a TPU reservist. In other words, there are only four of us there who do the military in a part-time basis. The rest are either active guard and reserve or active component. And it has, you know, Army, Air Force, Navy, Marines. It's a joint college, and so it's a great opportunity to really learn what the other services are like. And in this Eisenhower outreach program, we've gone to Arizona, the World Affairs Council, New York, various places, and it's been a great broadening experience.
Skip Phillips, why don't you come to the microphone? Skip every year calls me around this time, and we talk about the War College, and I know you're an advocate of it, and LSU has a long, long history of military service that actually ranks with the U.S. Military Academy, the Naval Academy. We're right there as a university.
That's true, Jim. Actually, I think LSU produced the second largest number of officers for World War II, second only to the military academies. So we're very proud of that. And as a graduate of the War College many years ago, I really am an advocate of this particular program. It gives the officers of the War College an opportunity to link back with their communities before they go on to their next really senior responsible assignments. We love having them come to Baton Rouge and to LSU. They've spoken at the university. They've spoken at some of the area high schools. They spoke at Southeastern University in Hammond and some local high schools in Tangipahoa Parish. And last night they were the guests of LSU at the LSU Grambling baseball game and were recognized on the field. So it's an opportunity for us to give back to them, but also for them to get a sense of what's going on in the communities that they serve.
And Colonel Centel has served his country well and served LSU well. This is a homecoming for him.
It is.
Even, I think, and one of his colleagues on this trip is actually another LSU Louisiana native from Paulina. And I think while they were here, they even had a chance to do some crawfish eating. So it worked out well for them.
How do you rank the quality of the armed forces right now?
The quality of the armed forces is incredible. I mean, the people listening need to know that our military, even as we go through sequestration and have to cut $41 billion, our senior Army leadership, the priority is to continue the leader development and make sure that our Army can fight and win in any conflict that we're asked to be engaged in. But it's also to make sure that we don't have to go to any armed conflict. And so, you know, from the highest levels down, our administration is trying to do the things to keep us out of armed conflict.
Well, you have walked the walk, and there are those, as you know, who are serving in our armed forces now, who have multiple tours of duty in these hot spots around the world, war zones. What does that do to a man and a woman's spirit when they're constantly in harm's way?
Well, our men and women have incredible resiliency, and the Army is doing wonderful things now on trying to actually have resiliency training, everything from PT, you know, from your post-traumatic brain disorders to you name it. The Army is out there making sure that our men and women who are in harm's way, emotionally, physically, they're getting all kind of counseling. They're teaching us ways to make our mind and body stronger throughout these kind of conflicts. And deployments are tough on us. They are tough, but the public should be proud of how strong our men and women are.
When did you attend the War College, Skip?
I was there. I did the distance education program while I was commanding a unit here in Baton Rouge, and I was there in 1998 and 1999.
Well, this makes us feel a lot better about our country when we see people like Colonel Centel.
Absolutely, Jim, and that's one of the lessons that we like to bring to the community is to let them see our senior leaders and our future general officers and know that the future of the military is in excellent hands.
Well, we thank you, gentlemen, and thanks for coming home, Colonel.
Thank you, Jim. It's an honor to be here.
Hope you enjoy your stay.
Thank you.
297-5633 is your number, and in a moment we'll hear from Susan Nelson, who is here to talk about things happening with the East Baton Rouge Parish Schools. But did want to note that yesterday in the U.S. Senate, the vote was 54-46 in favor of a measure which would include gun background checks. And U.S. Senator Mary Landrieu voted for the measure. U.S. Senator David Vitter was against. The proposal would have exempted background checks on unadvertised private transfers of weapons, including among family members. But 60 votes were needed to advance the measure, and as a result, it, for the time being, is dead. President Obama was none too pleased with the outcome, saying it was a shameful day in U.S. history, and it is a certainty that this vote yesterday from Senator Landrieu will have resonance in the year to come as she seeks a fourth term on Capitol Hill against the challenge of Congressman Bill Cassidy, who is on the other side of this particular issue. And we, of course, will devote much time to that race and to this issue and how that issue will affect the battle between Senator Landrieu and Congressman Cassidy. And stepping to the microphone is Susan Nelson. She is Interim Executive Director for Communications for External Affairs. That's a big title for the East Baton Rouge Parish Schools. Hi, Susan. How are you?
Good morning, Jim. How are you this morning?
Well, I'm doing great. And you're here to talk about schools, and we often do that here. And you want listeners to know particularly about a collaboration with the LSU Lab School and East Baton Rouge Schools at the former Mayfair Middle. What's happening?
Correct. We're building a new collaborative school with the LSU Lab program, basically modeled off of LSU Lab. Next fall, we'll be starting with grades K through 2, and then we'll be expanding in the subsequent years up to a full fifth grade, so a full elementary school. And we're working very closely with the folks at LSU Lab to design the curriculum, the organization of the school, the leadership of the school, so it really will be modeled on the LSU Lab experience.
Now, is the superintendent the catalyst for this?
Yes, sir. He worked very closely with Dr. Smith, who is the dean of the LSU Lab School, and they've been working together on this for quite some time.
What significance does this particular endeavor have?
Well, we think that parents are looking for more options in the city on where they can send their kids and what kind of programs they can get in. Obviously, LSU Lab has been very popular. They have a long waiting list, and so we're wanting to model that program in the public school setting.
Well, also, the Lee High School
Correct.
is involved. Redevelopment, new design. What's happening there?
We are going to have a full magnet program at Lee High School starting next school year. So the 2013-2014 school year will be a dedicated magnet. And the focus of the school is what we call STEAM, science, technology, engineering, arts, and mathematics. So students who are interested in the arts will be asked to put together a portfolio. We're looking for kids who have a special aptitude toward science, technology, engineering. Some of the things we're going to include are things like robotics and upgraded science programs.
So it's at Lee High, the legendary school on Lee Drive.
On Lee Drive. Of course, now next year the school is going to be demolished starting on May 22nd, which is the day after school gets out this year. The existing facility will be demolished. So those students will actually be holding school at the old Valley Park facility.
So it's going to take how long to get it?
2 years.
Two years.
And we're going to be doing a community design process. This Lee High will not look like any other school that we have here in East Baton Rouge Parish. It's going to be much more open spaces, much more modular, no lockers, because much more people are carrying around electronic books and things like that. So it's going to be a very, very different facility from anything we have here.
Can't imagine a school without lockers.
Well, if you don't have books, you don't need lockers.
There are no books in schools anymore?
Well,
either?
We have iPads, and we have digital content, and we have online content, so there's really not a need to carry around
no books.
A big old stack of books. There will be fewer and fewer as we go forward,
Jeez.
As we go into the 21st century.
I guess there's any need for knapsacks anymore either. But the new Lee High, I'm sure many will be eager to see. The other one is stated as a legendary school. I recall seeing Jesse Jackson speak at Lee in 1984, and he brought the house down. What if the walls could talk, what memories there are there. So this will be a magnet school. Will it be kind of like Baton Rouge High?
Actually, it'll be a little different from Baton Rouge High because of the focus with the science, technology, engineering, arts, and mathematics, specifically in those areas, whereas Baton Rouge High is sort of a catch-all academic magnet. This is really focused mm-hmm. toward those 21st century workforce skills in those areas.
How's the superintendent's tour going? Is he makes his case for change across our community?
He's been very well received. You know, he's spoken at Rotary Clubs. He's spoken before the Chamber. The week before last, he was with the Association of Engineering Executives. He has a lot of ideas, and we're getting a lot of people who are nodding their heads and excited about some of the changes that are coming to EBR.
Well, it's one thing to nod our heads. It's another thing to actually spring into action.
We are hoping we're seeing that. I know that with this application process for Lehigh, which, by the way, it goes from April 15th through May 24th, so if people want to get into the new Lehigh School, they need to go ahead and go online now and apply and basically get their seat for next school year. I think as we start seeing more and more people come from outside the school system, we'll see more and more people get involved.
Okay, well, you say April 15th, which
was Monday through May 24th.
Through May 24th.
Correct.
And where do they go online?
They go online to ebrschools.org. There's a link on our homepage, but if they have any questions, they can give us a call at
922-5443. And I guess that's a 225.
That's correct.
922-5443. Susan Nelson about Lee High School and other matters in our community. And the Lee High that will be in existence for the next couple of years, once again, will be located where?
At the old Valley Park facility, but it will be exclusively Lee High. That's the only students.
And how many students will be served? Approximately?
Approximately, we're shooting for, it's going to be about 400 students.
400 students. Mm-hmm. Okay, and the old Lehigh had how many?
I'm not sure what they currently
have.
I think
a little more than 400. The new Lehigh, the new Lehigh. Where,
right.
Where will it be
we'll,
as far
we'll
as?
We'll have 450 seats for 2013-2014, and then we'll accept 150 new ninth graders in the 2014-2015 year, so we'll go up to 600.
Okay. Thank you, Susan Nelson. Thank you for listening, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow. Stay tuned.
Podcasts of The Jim Engster Show are available at wrkf.org. The Jim Engster Show is produced in association with the Louisiana Radio Network and is copyrighted by WRKF for the private use of its audience. Any other use of any portion of this program without the written consent of WRKF is prohibited. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of WRKF, its officers, and members.